Guys, you know what it is. It's the Wrestling Gauntlet. We have a special guest tonight.
Good God. Just cut it right there. With this quarantine and pandemic going on, I need a little bit more enthusiasm. You know who you're talking to today? Well, let me tell you. You are talking to Megastar, Outlandish, Zicky Dice, the NWA World Must-See Television Champion, just made the Wrestling Gauntlet Outlandish. You're welcome. How you doing, Zicky? I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Well, we're exponentially better now that we've got you on the pod.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for joining us tonight, man.
Hey, thanks for having me. Luckily for you guys, I had nothing else to do, so here I am.
One and only National Wrestling Alliance Television Champion, Zicky Dice. Be jealous, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the man with us tonight. But let's hop right into business.
Let's do it.
Just doing our background research and being thorough, we saw that you were trained out of Seth Rollins' school. How did that come to be? Did you kind of know him beforehand? Or, tell us more about that.
Well, if in case you didn't know, I sing in a band called Heart to Heart, okay? So I was always involved in the carnival, and by the carnival, I mean just being a carny and living that way. So around high school, let me rewind a little bit. I grew up wrestling freestyle and Greco-Roman, ages about 5 to about 14, 15. I quit wrestling in high school after my sophomore year when my pops had passed away in a car accident. Mm-hmm. And from there, found music. I found punk rock and hardcore and started bands. And from there, I picked members from all the bands around and started a mega band, and that's what became Heart to Heart. And we took that from my mom's garage and traveled the country and Canada, and we were on the Vans Warped Tour and a bunch of big tours. We ended up landing 2 record deals. Our first one was with Anchor 84 Records, and then we later signed to Pure Noise Records. And it was on the Pure Noise Records tour that I had met Seth Rollins. He was a fan of a few of the bands we were on the road with. And I was in contact with them ever since, here and there. It was on one of the last tours we were on about 5 years ago. Heart to Heart was out with 4 Years Strong and Comeback Kid, and I was acting like an asshole on stage. And a good buddy of mine, John James Ryan Jr., I'll get back to him in a minute. He's like, hey, I need to talk to you at the end of the night. And he was the tour manager, so I thought that we were getting kicked off the tour. And he was like, listen, dude. He's like, you need to become a professional wrestler. He's like, there's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. He's like, you're agile, you're athletic. I know you love professional wrestling, and I think that you could be very, very successful in this business. And my gear started turning, and I did what I do best, and that's not think, just do. And I text Seth Rollins, and I said, hey, I want you to train me. And he said, ha, 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 ha. Are you serious? And I said, yeah, I'm going to be better than you are one day. And he said, I'll see you May 1st. I'll link you up with Merrick Brave and we'll get you settled. So I got linked with Merrick. I finished up tour. I sold everything I possibly had and then some to try and pay for wrestling school and the move and an apartment and all of that. And I packed up all my stuff from California. I drove to Moline, Illinois, a city I'd never been to. And I started training the third class at the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy under Seth Rollins, Merrick Brave, and Crotch, out in Davenport, Iowa. And that whole decision started 5 years ago. I had my first match. This August will be 5 years that I've been a professional wrestler. And I've been rocking and rolling ever since. I knew, not to toot my own horn, but you're also talking to the top prospect, number one graduate of the Black and Brave Wrestling Academy. And I say that with pride because I want to set a model for everyone else who goes to the school. You know, I want them to be like, hey, this can be done. And shit, I broke in at a later age. I was 26 or 27 when I started training, and I wanted the fast track. So I figured, hey, why not go train, in my personal opinion, with the best in the world? Right. And fun fact, I just saw this shared the other day, and it gave me chills. I live two blocks away from Levi Stadium, where WrestleMania 31 was, and I was there when he cashed in and won the title. And it was 2 weeks later that I actually moved. So I'm one of 12 to be trained by a current WWE champion. So
that's an accomplishment right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, like that clip surfaced online the other day, and I actually got chills. And I'll say this now, call it what you want, super fan mark, whatever, but I think that is hands down my favorite WrestleMania match of all time. And it's not just because of the match, because of everything that was going on in my life at that point in time. I was on the floor when he got that three count and won the title, and like just going there and hearing the story and watching him grow and seeing how nerdy he was. He actually got voted. He was in a magazine once upon a time for ugliest wrestling fan. There was a picture of him, right? Can you believe that? Can you believe that? I'm dead serious. Ugly fan. There was a photo of him in some magazine and became what he is today.
Incredible. So you kind of touched on it beforehand when you said that you grew up doing Greco-Roman and then you were a wrestling fan with your dad, or you watched it with your dad. So what was it that got you into pro wrestling? What made you love it so much? And then who were some of your biggest influences once you were trying to figure out your style?
I grew up in a wrestling household. Yes, my older brother always watched professional wrestling. My dad was into it, so it was just on. Like, my earliest memories, I want to say, are like Coco Beware. He's the first wrestler that always comes to mind when someone's talking about your earliest memories of wrestling, and I just have this vision of Coco Beware. Is he one of my favorites? No, but he's great. Absolutely. My all-time favorite is Shawn Michaels, and I loved Bret Hart. But growing up and forming Outlandish Zicky Dice, I started realizing that my favorites were the ones that I hated back when. So Mr. Perfect, Rick the Model Martel, Ravishing Rick Rude, Bam Bam Bigelow, Sid Vicious, you know, a lot of Vader, you know, the list goes on. Like, and I love the style. I love the bright colors. I love the characters. I'm very good at talking. I've got away with words, and my fiance can attest to that. So that's what I play off. And I, with all the traveling I've been doing, you know, Seth will even tell you, he thought I was going to bullshit my way through Black and Brave, that I was just, you know, I was on some high horse coming in. But at the same time, I knew, I was all the energy that I had put into Heart to Heart. I knew if I took that and put that into myself, that I was unstoppable. I know there is no one like me. I am one of a kind. And I strive on that. With all the traveling I do around the country, to indies, and trying to make a name for myself, working at the swap meets, working in some fair in Kansas, I've done it all. And every single show, it's a learning experience for me, because I'm looking around and seeing, what are people not doing? Because that's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. And that's what I started finding. And people would tell me, oh, you work that style. You know, I got injured and I was out for a few months back to back, and I changed my whole style and everything I wanted to do. And I just worked on the style that I grew up loving so much. And I was told that it would be a waste of time. And here we are. That's what helped me yet.
Well, it's certainly working for you. I mean, you're one of the, I've said it multiple times in the past when we're talking about power on the Wrestling Gauntlet. If you have nothing else in the world, you have charisma, and you certainly embody that prototypical charismatic heel that you just love to hate so much. And you do a great job of capturing that. And so while we're, you know, I came to be familiar with you about while watching Power. So how did that come to be? How did you come to join the National Wrestling Alliance?
It's quite funny, actually. One of my favorite stories. I had been working on and off for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood for about 3 years. I started working for them when I was living in Chicago still, and I knew I was going to be moving back to California. So I had the opportunity to get my foot in the door there. In those 3 years, I had never once been given a promo, a live promo, backstage, in ring, nothing. And I never complained about it. I was supposed to be in Florida on November 3rd, and that show had fallen through. And I had texted my friend Johnny Yuma over, who was working at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood at the time. And I said, hey, man, I know you reached out before. Is there room on that show? He's like, it's kind of full, but you know what? Come on down. I'll find something for you. I said, all right, cool. Thank you. Got in my carload, and at this point, I had been busting my ass. I had two WWE tryouts. I've been to the New Japan Dojo twice, tried out for Ring of Honor, and been grinding, doing everything that I possibly could. I put a damn billboard outside of All Out that said All Outlandish Zicky Dice, with dropping my new website, zickydice.com. I'd literally didn't know what else to do, and I was beating myself up in the car, and actually our carload was too. So we got to Championship Wrestling Hollywood, showed up a little early, and Nick Bonanno was looking for someone to film a promo, and he's like, oh, Jicky, you're here. He's like, why don't you get dressed and cut a promo? I was like, all right. So I ran in the back, got dressed. I went out and said like 6 or 7 words, dead serious, 6 or 7 words. I was immediately pulled back by Billy Trask, who was a producer at Championship Wrestling Hollywood and now works for NWA. And he gave me this little finger number there, and I came around the corner, and everyone was there. And at the end of this long walkway was David Lagana and Billy Corgan.
Okay.
And he's like, Zicky, they want to talk to you. And I was like, oh. And I knew something was up, and it was a long walkway, so like my heart just started going doo, 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 and
right.
I'm looking down, you know, like oh shit, and I walked up, and I had met them before. I had seen them around Championship Wrestling in Hollywood. Actually, Championship NWA, the reboot, basically started out of Championship Wrestling in Hollywood,
right.
To be honest right. with you.
Yeah.
And I got asked to wrestle Tim Storm a few years back. You probably won't recognize me. I was heavier. I had a big red beard and brown hair. And that was the start of the 10 Pounds of Gold series. And so I had met them before. Did they remember me? Sure. I don't know. Maybe not. Who cares? It's relevant. Billy Corgan, I walk up and he grabs my hand. He's like, oh my God, look at you. He like shakes my hand. He puts his other hand on the other side. He's like, look at your hair and your earring and your fanny pack. He's like, he's like, what are you doing December 14th? And I sat there. I was like, why does that date sound so familiar? And I was like, oh, me and my fiance just planned a snow trip. And I looked at him and I said, absolutely nothing. I'm completely. You know, I mean, what else am I going to say, right?
Right.
And he said, well, how would you like to work for me and the NWA? And I said, I would absolutely love that. So I called Chicken. That's my fiance. And I said, hey, snow trip's postponed. I was like, daddy's going to NWA. He's like, okay, well, Lagana will reach out on Monday. And I had no idea what was going on, to be honest, going into it. And I showed up and immediately had back-to-back matches and back-to-back promos. And if you watch Power, the rest is history. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, Lagana had come up to me the first tapings, and he said it was after my second match, I think, with when I beat Caleb Conley. And he said, are you having fun here? Sure, absolutely. And he said, well, you know, we got you on this set of tapings, and we've decided we'll have you at the hard times and the next set of tapings, and then, you know, we'll go from there and we'll see if something opens up for you here. And I was like, okay, yes, sir. And in my head, I was like, oh, I want this damn job. Like, I want this more than anything. And, well, got a little more than that. I got a little title, and tomorrow will be, oh. Wow, day 35 is television champion. The quarantine, the rain doesn't stop, and I have a perfect record of 0-0.
Hey, key thing about that is you're undefeated.
I'll be damned. And you know, and I keep saying this, and I want to make it up to everybody because they're like, ah, Zicky, you know, we don't like that guy. But I think that I can make it up and maybe win everyone back over. So what I'm thinking is when this pandemic and COVID all calms down a little bit, and maybe I'll stop licking things for a little bit, maybe I will defend my championship 7 times in one episode. Seven times.
Hey.
We'll find, and I'm start looking, my eyes are peeled, maybe they're NWA talent, maybe they're not, but I'm gonna find what I think the best 7 competitors are who deserve a title shot, and then once I win all 7 of those, I can get my hands on the 10 pounds of pink and make history.
There you go.
We support that strategy.
The world's treasure here, the world's treasure. Hey. FYI.
That's right. But you were talking about getting started with NWA. How does wrestling in the studio for those power tapings and recording several weeks of TV at a time compared to other venues that you've been in? Is it odd? Was it odd at first kind of doing that?
I love this question very, very much, and I'm going to tell you why. No, because I had Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, who is almost identical. The way we film, it's just like WWE on a smaller scale, and that prepared me for NWA and studio wrestling. The only thing that was a little tricky at first that I wasn't used to was not having music in the beginning, right? Like, when my music hits, and not to mention, I do have the best song in all of professional wrestling. And
oh, it's pretty fire. It's pretty fire.
That gets me hyped. It makes me feel a little outlandish. It gets the blood flowing, all right? All right? You show up somewhere new, and there's no music, and you're at the bottom of the totem pole. It's a lot of weight on your chest. But I get more and more comfortable. You know, I even watch back the old episodes. And, yeah, there's some things I would do differently, but there's a lot that I wouldn't. And I think back to how I was feeling in those moments, and it's a lot to take in. And, you know, I got to go and get the world to hate me. And I think I've done a pretty damn good job. And I haven't cheated yet. And I haven't even cheated yet.
Exactly. That's the funny thing about it.
Babe, I'll never cheat.
We mentioned it a lot on the Wrestling Gauntlet that NWA week to week is possibly the best product out there that's going on. And for you to come in and make the impact that you have in such a short time period and then winning the NWA television championship is amazing.
Dude, I had, from my perspective, okay, I came out, I've been busting my ass 4.5 years. I don't care what anyone says. I have gone above and beyond. I've put in every single dollar that I have into Zicky Dice, and I haven't seen much of it come back. Oh, let's be real here, okay? I walk out from that curtain, and guess what? It was crickets. My first episode, go ahead and watch it back. Season 2, it's crickets. I hear murmurs and people saying whatever, whatever. Who is this guy? Fat DDP. That's one of my favorites. When did DDP stop being like that? you know, Steve Corino, bootleg this, whatever, whatever. And by the end of that match, I have that whole room booing me. Yeah. And I was sent Billy Trask, my buddy I told you about earlier. He was editing in one of the episodes, and he sent it to me. I have it on my phone. It's one of the greatest things I've ever gotten. He's all, dude, holy shit. Sends me a clip, and it's me just walking out and the boos, and it was the raw audio. He had to turn it down. They had to be turned down for the episode because it was so loud. I'm telling you, the fans in there are great. They love to hate, and I got them right where I want them.
Yep.
So how does it feel being the National Wrestling Alliance television champion and holding that same belt designed after the Jim Crockett Promotions era TV champions, that belt carried by greats like Great Muda, Arn Anderson.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. The list continues. There's a lot of greats.
Steve Austin, yeah.
Oh, man. Well, let me ask you this. How do you guys think it feels? That's what I want to know. And then I'll tell you how it feels.
Just to be associated in the same historic lineage as some of these names is unimaginable for me.
And what did all of these guys end up doing after that title went through their hands? Huh?
They went to the roof.
Huh? You damn right. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. Let this reign add on. And just like Arn Anderson once said, it's not his anymore, but this is my world title. This is mine. It could be television champion, everyone else, but this is mine. And I'm the one that's going to get people talking about it. I'm the one that's going to make this title relevant. I'm the one that's going to make this title larger than life. And you've heard it here first, because I'll tell you this. As soon as I won that title, when I pinned him, Ricky Starks, 1, 2, 3, I went in the back, and my lip was quivering, and Kyle Davis walked up to me, and he said, "You need a minute?" And I said, "Yes." He gave me the back room. I went and broke it all down, because at that very moment, it all made sense. All the bullshit, all the relationships I've lost, all the friendships I've lost, all the snakes that have came out the grass, the people that were there for me that aren't anymore, the full carloads that I used to have when I was by myself, the plane tickets I bought by myself, the tryouts I paid for, the merch that I never saw back, it all made sense at that moment. And now, the world is my oyster.
Absolutely. That's got to be like
television in the whole entire world.
Yeah, that's got to be like the most rewarding feeling, to put in all this work, not knowing if it's going to pay off, and then once it does. So, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, I wrestled DJZ, Joaquin Wilde.
Yeah.
About a year and a half ago, and it was that day specific. I had a talk with him, and he was mentioning, you know, if he didn't hear anything, that he was going to throw in the towel. And here's a guy that is very damn talented. The world, wrestle for some of the top promotions in the world, and to hear someone say that, not to mention, I didn't even tell you that I was already feeling that way. So when I heard him say that, dude, crumble, right? Crumble. Yeah. the places that I'm trying to get to email me back that are leaving me on red or not giving a shit or not giving me an opportunity. All I needed was one opportunity. I knew that. And that's what I had been fighting for the last 4.5 years is one opportunity, because I know what I'm capable of. And, you know, I see the tweets come in and people saying this, and it's true. The NWA, Billy Corgan, David Lagana, and everyone involved does not know the gem that they found that day on November 3rd until now. And now it's starting. Now the seed's starting to grow, and every day is a new adventure.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's one of the things you mentioned earlier. I didn't know that you had been to the New Japan Dojo and, you know, had the tryouts with WWE Ring of Honor. And just knowing what I know now, I wonder how many of them are kind of kicking themselves in the ass, because, like I said, you're one of the most charismatic performers in the business.
The WWE thing beat me up for a little bit. And I don't really talk about this much, but I feel like I want to, and I feel like I should. So I went and did extra work in California the first time, and you got a tryout match in SmackDown. I got a standing ovation. I did a lot of magic tricks before coming to NWA in the ring and part of the character. So I mixed that with what you see now. And I wanted to be different. So I went and did magic tricks. Got an ovation, standing ovation after that, was all cool, yada, yada, yada. A year later, I go back to WWE for extra work, and I was given a match with me and my buddy Levi Shapiro, and I said, hey, we're going first. And he's one of my best friends, and we had it all ready to go. We hopped the barricade, we went first. I changed five single dollar bills into hundreds in front of their face, in front of everyone's faces that was watching. I did a few of my signature moves, and we got another standing ovation, bigger than the one last time. And I was pulled aside, and Devon walks up to me and he said, hey, fellas, he said, you mind if I critique your match? And I said, yes, sir, what's up? He said, the only thing wrong with your match is that Vince McMahon wasn't there to see it himself. He's like, you're a superstar. He's like, your footwork and your character, and he's like, you say the word outlandish, you got a hand logo, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, Steve Corino loves it, and everyone by the ring popped, and, you know, and, like, from there I heard nothing.
Wow.
Nothing. And I've learned at that very moment that extra work is for the birds, because I, in fact, am not – no offense to those who want to do their extra work. I am not an extra, all right? I was supposed to wrestle freaking Heavy Machinery on episode of SmackDown. I was this close to wrestling him. I got pulled from the match by Hurricane because he said – he's like, dude, look at you. You look way cooler than my tag team. I can't have you in that match. I knew, and I still know that I am destined for more. I'm not content with what I have now because I want more, and I'm going to get it. I refuse.
Hell yeah.
I'm just a small kid from Orchid, California, and I want to prove to everyone that dreams, in fact, do come true. You know, I'm not this this outlandish as everyone really thinks that I am. You know, I struggle with some anxiety and depression and had a pretty rough upbringing at moments. So this is all I see myself doing in life. I said it once and I'll say it again. If I wasn't wrestling, I'd have my own special ed classroom. But I don't have the time and energy to commit all of that right now, especially with everything going on with Zicky. And I'm basically putting all my eggs in one basket. If I die tomorrow, I am very happy with everything that's happened. I am, but I everything else is just bonus. And I want to push the limit, and I want to see how far I can really go.
Absolutely. So you kind of touched on it earlier. I want to circle back around to Heart. So the band that you were in before wrestling was even a thing for Zicky Dice. You're still making music with them, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, we released a new record this past Valentine's Day. Heart to Heart's Heartbreaker is out now on InVogue Records. We got a new music video up online for Insufferable. And there's a lot of cool stuff that you can find. We've got a bunch of records that have been released in the past. And if you want to give the new one a spin, if you haven't heard, I recommend doing that. And still making music. We were going to play some shows here and there. Touring, I don't know. Like I said, Zicky comes first at the moment.
All right.
So we'll figure that all out. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Well, there's another guy that seems to have found the perfect balance between wrestling and music. I don't know. Maybe you've heard of Chris Jericho. So, hey, it's the opportunity's out there. So.
There's a few. Like Brody King as well. Andy Williams. Mandrews as well. A lot of musicians.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's next for Zicky Dice? What's your goals? What's on the horizon when this COVID bullshit pandemic ends? What's next?
Oh man, taking over the world. You know, I want to literally bring this title anywhere and everywhere. You never know where I'll show up. I don't even know what's next. I've got there's some decision making to do, but you never know where I'll show up or where I'll be. So I just know that this isn't the last. And if you haven't heard of me yet, you should probably get on that train now so you can say, hey, I knew him when, and he did say that this was going to happen.
Like Dustin said, when this COVID pandemic crap ends, who's somebody in the business that you've never faced before that you'd love to get in the ring and work with?
Oh, man, there are so many. You know, we've had, like, with this Ring of Honor mix that was coming into NWA, I really want to get my hands on the Peacock.
Don
Cass. That would be gold.
Yeah.
That's something I want to do. There's a few guys at Ring of Honor that I would love to tango up with. Brody King, I've known him for a while. I love to fight Brody King.
That's another guy that I put over all the time because to be as agile as he is at his size, good Lord. But anyway.
We get called brothers all the time, and he hates it. And every week where someone asks if we're brothers, I send it to him, and I say, yes, we are, because he gets so mad.
Oh, I'm about to make you to a tag team on my WWE 2K20. So
when we were both training, we had big beards and the tattoos, and I messaged him like, dude, we should tag. And he like laughed about it. He still brings that up. He's like, remember when you asked me to tag with you? I was like, you're lost. You're lost.
Absolutely.
Speaking of dream matchups, if there's one wrestler from any era ever that you've been interested in to face them in their prime, who would it be?
Damn, that's a tough question, but I'm still going to stick with my answer, Seth Rollins.
That means
student versus teacher, right? I sent him a text and said I was going to be better than him one day, right? So,
yeah.
I'm a man of my word, so I guess I gotta whoop that ass.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about your dream matchup is that it could still feasibly happen because you're just coming into your own and he's still in his prime. So hey, we're rooting for you, that's for sure.
Oh man, if it wasn't him, dude, this answer's tough. But either Sean or Mr. Perfect, one of the two.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with two of the greatest of all time. Before we get you out of here and let you go, is there anything that you'd like to plug? Where can fans find you online, find your merchandise online?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking because I've made it nice and simple. You can head to www.zickydice.com for all your Zicky Dice needs. And I made it nice and simple. If you want to follow this outlandish journey I call life, you can follow me at symbol Zicky Dice on every piece of social media out there. I look forward to meeting and entertaining and getting you all to hate me very soon. And also, if you haven't heard Heart to Heart, once again, stream the new record Heartbreaker out on InVogue Records. And once again, catch me on NWA Power, youtube.com/NWA. Hit that subscribe button. That does us a lot of good. And gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it here first from your NWA television champion, must-see television champion, who also follow him on social media. He's hilarious. Doing research for our interview today, I was looking at some Tiger King videos that you did. I'm immediately about to go order that Tiger King shirt.
You definitely should.
All right, Zicky, we really appreciate you coming on. And like I said, we're huge fans ourselves. I was one of those. I was one of those that when you first came out on Power, I was like, who is this? What's going on? But
I love to hear it.
But now I'm one of those that's also in the palm of your hand. You've got me hooked, and you've got a fan for the rest of your career and me.
More outlandish fun ahead. I guarantee that. This is just the beginning, boys.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, guys, this has been the Wrestling Gauntlet, a special episode with the must-see TV champion, outlandish Zicky Dice. We'll see you next time.